This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Am I the problem? What am I doing? And that's something that Corey Wayne rips on Red Pill too, is he says that they're all about blaming the girl. Now, look, they are not innocent in any of these discussions, right? Mm-hmm. But part of being a man, part of being a leader, there's a fascinating book by Jocko Willink called Extreme Ownership that talks all about this.
I love that book. Yeah.
Yes. I've read that probably 6 or 7 times. It's all about what did I do?
You're listening to the premier podcast for men who want to not only be better with women, but want to be better men in general. This is the Come On Man podcast. And here's your host, Paul Bauer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Come On Man. If you haven't done so already, please like, subscribe, hit those notifications. You know what to do already. If you guys are watching during the live replay, drop a comment. I'm usually in there while I'm editing videos in the morning, but if not, talk amongst yourselves. If you guys are watching the replay, drop a comment below. If you guys are listening on your favorite audio platform of choice, give us a 5-star review. It helps more than you know. Actually, take the time to actually write out why you like the show too. It's funny, when people hate something, they're quick to write about it. They want to tell everybody, right? But when someone likes something, they're like, seems good. They scroll on. Like, no, man. If you like this, you think it would benefit more men, you know, help us out. You know, write some of these reviews. You know, that really does help. You guys can send super chats during these pre-records. I just can't bring them up on the screen. So if you do that, that does support the show, and I will screenshot it and share it on social media. Speaking of social media, you can follow me. I'm on all the good platforms. The links are in the description. Get on the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com. I will send you some free stickers. You also get 20 dating app openers, and you also get a free chapter of my book, Everything I Wish I Knew When I Was 18. So if you've been thinking about getting the book, get on the email list and get a free chapter. It's all about the 4 different ways to meet women. Speaking of the book, you can get it on Amazon at books.comeonmanpod.com. That takes you to my Amazon authors page. You can get all the different versions there, including the Audible version and the Kindle edition there. And guys, join the beer club, beer.comeonmanpod.com. It's a good group of like-minded dudes. If you sign up for a year, it's only like $8 a month. We have a very active Telegram community. You know, a lot of guys just don't have a good outlet where they can come to other guys with their issues. Beer Club's a great place for that. Plus we meet up once a month. Actually this last month we did twice a month. We had one of the guys in the Beer Club volunteered to host a second meetup for February. So why not? Why not? Anyways, join the beer club at beer.comeonmanpod.com. The link's in the description for that. And then finally, if you guys want to work with me one-on-one, you can do so by going to coaching.comeonmanpod.com. You can sign up for my coaching program there. I invite you to go there, watch the video, see if working with me might be a good fit for you. If you're still not convinced, book a free call with me. Okay. There's a link for that at the bottom of the page. Okay. All right. Joining me on the podcast today is one of my 3% brothers. He's one of my newer 3% brothers, I would say. His name is Taylor Michael Griffin. Before this interview, I really didn't know much about him. All I know is that he said he wanted to contribute more to discussions, asked how he could get on the podcast. I was like, yeah, man, let's set it up. So I invited him on the podcast. I did know going into this that he hates red pill content. And I can understand why, you know, because there's a lot of bad actors in the space. And a lot of guys have misconceptions about what red pill is. So Thought I'd bring him on. We have a really good discussion today. You know, actually was very pleasant. I like this guy. So I will bring you that conversation right after these words. Life is a journey filled with twists and turns. Why is it that essential life lessons aren't taught in school? You probably know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, but do you know how to invest in a Roth IRA? We're not taught to build ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. The roadmap to success is more than just a college degree. You don't have to follow the traditional route. Success isn't confined to a classroom. It's about discovering your own path. You ever wish that someone handed you a guidebook to life when you were 18? Well, it's never too late to rewrite your story. Everything I wish I knew when I was 18. Advice for young men to create a great life for themselves. This book is your compass, guiding you to pick the right career, how to invest wisely, and how to prepare for a fulfilling future, to take control of your health and your fitness, learn how to date efficiently and find genuine desire, and master the art of leading healthy relationships. Your path is defined by the choices you make, not by others' expectations. Don't wait until you're 35 to unlock your potential. Order your copy now on Amazon. Rewrite your story. Build the life you deserve. All right, joining me on the podcast today is 3% brother Taylor Michael Griffin, who said he wanted to contribute more to the discussion, so I invited him on the podcast. He also hates red pill content, but that's really all I know about him. What's going on, brother?
How you doing, Paul? Thanks so much for having me on, and I'm excited to learn from you and learn from the other guys in the group, and maybe somebody can learn from me and my experiences. I don't hate red pill. I have some issues with red pill, but I've actually learned a lot from the red pill guys too. I just think that some of their prescriptions and their generalizations can be kind of harmful, but I'm sure we'll get into that and we can hash that all out. But no, I don't hate those guys, man.
Yeah. Well, so I never have people on to debate. Cause I kind of look at it like debates are stupid. And so it's like, if you have an opinion, like I'm excited to hear, like, I like to hear other people's perspective. So,
100%.
So, I almost guarantee your problems that you have with red pill are probably the same problems I had with it initially. But then I came around. I just came around to the dark side, you know, and then killed all the younglings, and I became a Sith Lord. You know, like that's what tends to happen.
Right.
So let me ask you this, man. What led you to join the 3% Brotherhood group on Facebook?
Well, you know, obviously I read the book a whole bunch of times, and I actually didn't start getting into this whole relationship dynamic attraction, how attraction works, through Corey Wayne. I actually started by looking up a guy named Matt Cross. He's got a channel called The 33 Secrets. Don't agree with everything he has to say, but he was kind of the first one that really led me on this rabbit trail. And then I kind of just Googled relationship books, and Corey Wayne's popped up, and then I read the book, and then I started searching for stuff on Facebook, and then I found the original group, which was great. Still not sure why that got shut down, but I found the original group, and then when the other group got you know, started up, I was like, man, I got to hop in on this action too. You know, I don't want to be left out of the discussion. So that's kind of how I was, how I found the Brotherhood. Yep.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. So you were in the original group. Yeah. What happened was, Chris Kokoski, who was the original founder of that group, somehow he got his Facebook account deleted. Like he got it banned somehow. And because he was the only owner of the group, like the rest of us were just moderators, but he was the only owner of the group. Yeah. So when his account got banned, it took the old group with it. And so, So we created 3% Brotherhood out of the ashes. And then I made all the original admins actual owners of the group. So that way, if any of us get banned, it should stay this time. Hopefully.
Yeah. And it seems like you can get banned so easily for things now that to me, it's things that are not controversial at all, just basic truths, because I believe in truth, can get you in trouble, can get you banned. And it's like, it's crazy world we live in, you know. But the good news is, we got to keep it positive. So the good news is, we're back. We're all having discussions now. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I used to have a Facebook page I ran a long time ago that was a political page, and it was more right wing, you know, and I would get put in Facebook jail all the time with that. But with my dating content, even sometimes I post controversial stuff on my, you know, on the Come On Man podcast page. No problems at all on Facebook.
Nothing
with that kind of stuff. I don't understand what is going on with that. But on TikTok, yeah. I say like anything off color, it immediately gets banned. Sometimes I don't even say anything bad and I get banned. I'm like, what?
I know
what
it. I get banned for? I know it. It's just crazy that you know. I think the problem with that is that people use these negative labels for things like, you know, not to get too political, but like racist, for example, they'll say things all racist. Well, some people have made the definition of racist so wide, or they've made the definition of sexist so broad that anything you say that might remotely be a little controversial or not of the mainstream opinion, you're gone. And it's just really, really sad because, I believe that when people stop talking, bad things happen. You know, so it's so important to engage with people we both agree with and disagree with, because if you only engage with people you agree with, you have an echo chamber. And then if you only engage with people you disagree with, you feel like you're all by yourself and you're alone and no one agrees with you. So, you know, it's so important to have all these discussions with politics, with dating and relationships, with red pill, blue pill, MGTOW, whatever you want to say. And so, you know, yeah, when people stop talking, that's bad, man. That's bad news.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's why I like to talk to pretty much everybody in the space. And sometimes people will come on the show. I don't agree with a goddamn thing that they say, but it's like, okay, well, that's your opinion. Let me dig into that. Why do you think that way? Yeah. And it's never like a judgment. It's just like, oh, because sometimes people will say things and you're like, oh, I never thought about it that way before. Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So getting back to 3% Brotherhood and reading Corey Wayne's book, how many times have you read it now?
Oh, man, I've lost count. I know it's at least 15. I think my first read was in 2019, but it's at least 15, 20. Sometimes I'll go through stretches to where I'll read it three times back to back to back. Other times I'll go, you know, because I like to read other material also. I'll read it once every 3 months or once every 5 months or twice every 6 months, but I know I've lost count. It's been a lot. And I would say that Corey Wayne's book, if someone were to ask me who is one of the most influential people in your life, aside from my boxing coach, one of them would be Corey Wayne, because I've seen the evidence of, I don't want to say his teachings, because they're really just, it's really just nature and biology, but the things I've learned from his book, I have seen manifest in my life, and I've seen great results from them. It's like a direct comparison. It's kind of like when you're running and you run a 5K and then you run another 5K and you did it faster. Okay, well, that's undeniable proof that you are better than you were the last time. And I can look at my life. I can step back and look at my life, Paul, and I can look at how I was with dating and relationships before I read Corey's book and how I am after. And I can see personally, man, brother, a world of difference. I've met so many great women, some not so great, but most of them have been great, made some great memories. And I thank Corey Wayne for a lot of that. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. Going back to the red pill concept. Did you realize, like, reading Corey Wayne's book, that he was, a lot of his stuff is like cocky funny? That comes from David D'Angelo. Have you ever gone down the rabbit hole of looking at the family tree of game? It's fascinating.
Yeah, no, I can't say I have the family tree of game. I know that back in the 90s wasn't like pickup artistry was just coming up. I don't really know too much about the history of the red pill stuff. I just kind of got introduced to it. Obviously, you know, your search history will give you more of that same content when you look up Corey Wayne or Matt Cross or Alexander Grace, who's another guy I love to listen to and learn from. But yeah, I've never really dived too deep into the history of it, no.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason why I bring it up is because, so Corey, if you read his book, it works. It all works, right? There were certain things in there that, you know, didn't work that great for me. So I found from other material, like Dr. Robert Glover's Dating Essentials for Men was another one.
Yep, I've read it.
So what you'll find, like, they seem to complement each other very well. And when I really started looking into it, it was like, well, both of them were influenced by David D'Angelo and David Data, right? Mm-hmm. David Data wrote Way of the Superior Man.
The Way of the Superior Man. Yes.
Yeah. So they were both influenced by those two same guys. So I'm like, well, that no wonder their books complement each other so well. They're basically the same information, right? So I started looking like, I started looking at other guys in the space, right? And so David D'Angelo, he was actually taught by a guy named Ross Jeffries at one point. Ross Jeffries was like the king of NLP pickup. And then anyway, I'm going off on this rabbit hole, but the other day I'm reading a book by a guy that used to go by Royce. And Royce was one of the original three R's of the red pill space, right? You had Rollo, Royce, and this guy named Roosh. And Royce, I'm reading this blog article from Royce, and I find out he was heavily influenced by David D'Angelo too. And I'm like, Jesus, right? Like, no wonder, it's funny because when you read all the dating books, they all sound the same. Like they're all saying very similar things. And you're like,
the same kind of message.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So let's talk about you mentioned Matt Cross. You said his name was?
Yeah, let's do it. Yep, Matt Cross is one. He calls himself M, but his name is Matt Cross. And he's got a YouTube page called The 33 Secrets. And it wasn't an audio book, but it was an audio download you could do. It was like $200 or something like that, kind of pricey looking back on it now. But it was my first experience. Yeah. Okay. It was my first experience in the space. And what he said made so much sense. And what he said was so shocking as to how some women can think and operate, and how some women don't think and don't operate. And I said, wow. But then I was like, you know what? This makes sense. Cause I started to look back at personal experiences, my own life. I said, man, I never knew that. I never knew that she was giving me signals that she was liking me. I thought she was just being friendly. Right, oh no. Yeah. So Matt was the first guy I got introduced into all this stuff was Matt. Yeah. 33 Secrets. Yeah.
33. That's the name of his YouTube channel. Was that also the name of his audiobook?
Yeah. 33 secrets. And then he had 10, he's got 10 bonus secrets.
Of course. Yeah. He can't give.
Yeah, because you can't give
someone 43 secrets. You got to give him 33 and then 10 bonus. That's how.
Exactly right. That's I was getting a great deal on that, Paul.
He was the first marketing one. Yeah. So how was what you learned from Matt Cross similar to what you learned from Corey, and how was it different?
Well, the similarities I would say are that one of the big ones is that women like a man that have a purpose and a destiny. They like a man that have a purpose and a destiny. They like a man that's clean, that dresses well, that takes care of himself, that's just doing his own thing, regardless of what people think. Another thing they're similar at with is Corey and Matt both say, stop worrying about getting laid. You know, so many guys out here are so worried about having sex that's all they're thinking about. And both of them teach, no, man, stop. Y'all got to get your hustle on. Y'all got to get your money up. Y'all got to get your fitness up. And over time, women will notice you naturally. And I think that's the key, Paul, is you want women to notice you naturally, not because you're trying, not because you approach them. Although I don't necessarily disagree with approaching. I just think it's way more genuine when a woman naturally notices a man for his smell, his smile, his style, the way he carries himself, head back, chin up, confidence, not in like a cocky way. Although I do think having a little bit of cockiness is good. But in a humble way, if that makes sense. And then the ways they're different is, I kind of think that Matt has a very negative way of looking at women. For example, there's a chapter in his audio file where he kind of goes the route of Rich Cooper, where he says, basically there are no good women, and yes, they are all the same. Not they are all the same in regards to what attracts them to men, but they're all the same in all the bad ways. And I can tell you firsthand, I just don't agree with that. I don't think that's true. An example would be, all women cheat. Oh, that's very, very broad. And I'm not going to get into the rabbit hole of that, but all women don't cheat. My grandfather, my grandmother, they've been married for how many years? I mean, I guess I don't know this for sure, but neither of them have cheated on each other. And I think when you look back to Paul, to people who've gotten married way back when, and they're still married today, there's just a sense of casual love between them to where it's like, why cheat? Why ruin something that we've built this life together with? So I, out of all the red pillars and all the dating and relationship coaches I've seen, there's two to me that stand out that I personally like, that I think are the most balanced, that both give women their credit while criticizing them, and they both give men their credit while criticizing them too. And that's Corey Wayne, and that's Alexander Grace. I'm just now getting into, I think his name is Sean Smith's book of The Tactical Guide to Women, where he's a lot more balanced. I like Paul. I like the guys that are balanced. And that doesn't mean that, well, just because something's negative doesn't mean it's not true. Of course, I know that. I just think saying that, you know, you wait at the finish line and you F the winners, it's like, that might be true, but us men do the same thing. Or, you know, saying things like, I do think monkey branching is true, but I don't think it's true in the sense that the second a woman sees a guy who makes more money, who's got a prettier smile, who dresses better, who smells better, oh, she's just going to leave you and go to that guy. It's just a given. It's going to happen. And I think that's kind of where, like, you know, Myron from Fresh and Fit, he just kind of assumes that, well, the second a woman sees a guy who's got it more than you, she's just going to leave you. It's like, hold on a minute. That's not been my experience, but
that's not necessarily true. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I think one of the biggest critiques of like red pill content in general is, you know, categorizing all women in a certain light, because like you said, it is not all women. Are you a gun advocate by chance?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm not super into guns where I go shoot them all the time, but I have a couple guns myself, and big advocate of the Second Amendment, self defense, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. One great analogy I learned from Ryan Stone a while back. I think I mentioned to you Ryan Stone on the 3% Brotherhood, but he's like, obviously it's not all women. Like, obviously all people are different, right? And he goes, but we sort of teach people in generalities in the red pill space the same way we teach guns in general, right? Like, guns can be used for self-defense. Guns can be used to murder people. Guns can be used for lots of different things, right? But we tend to treat guns as if they're all loaded too, right? Like, they're all, like, whether they are or not, because not all guns are loaded at all times, but we treat them like they are, so we don't accidentally shoot ourselves in the foot. So he's like, when we use these generalities in the red pill space, a lot of the times it's like we're treating a gun like it's loaded all the time. It might not be loaded, but you'll navigate the relationship better if you treat her like she's a loaded gun until she proves that she's not.
That makes sense to me. Definitely makes sense to me. It could potentially change my perspective on that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense. Why would you always, especially me, kind of Paul, I'm a kind of a private person. So I've kind of been led to believe that, not to assume the worst in people, but don't assume the best either. Don't assume that everybody you talk to has got the best intentions for you, brother, because they might not. Yeah. And so, I mean, with Ryan Stone, whatever his name was, that analogy makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. That son of a bitch. He's fucking smart, dude. Like,
I know.
Fuck that guy.
I feel like all these guys are smarter than me because I'm learning from them.
I just like saying that because I like giving him a ration of shit. He just wrote this book here. It's called Dread Praxeology, volume two on dread. And it's fascinating. This one's, it's really about turning a broken relationship around. Fucking fascinating.
That's good, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting, this concept of dread, because I don't know if you've read Atomic Attraction by Christopher Cantwell.
No, I thought about reading that, Paul, but I just skimming through the summary, but like the 5-minute little audio clip you can do on Audible, I just kind of felt like it wasn't going to tell me anything new, so I kind of skipped that one. But it has been recommended to me, but no, I haven't read it.
Okay, yeah. So that one was one that really helped me out a lot. And But my biggest gripe with that is near the end, he starts talking about dark triad traits and dread game. And it's just like toxic bullshit that I would never
really
use. Yeah. And
like,
and
what do you like, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So like, for instance, like, his concept of dread game is to go to like a department store like Macy's or JCPenney and just spray on women's perfume and then come back home. And when your girl's like, why do you smell like women's perfume? Just be like, oh, I don't know. I was sampling, you know what, but make her think that you might be cheating and stuff. And it's like, that's toxic as fuck. Why would you blow a relationship like that? Right. But Ryan's information is not like that at all. It's like, you realize that, you're probably the problem with the relationship, right? Like she's probably losing attraction for you because you're not doing what you need to be doing as a man. So you need to start leveling up and start doing this. You start working on frame. You need to start handling her shit tests better. Like all this kind of stuff that makes her look at you like, wait a second, what's going on? He's going to the gym now. He's starting to look good. And I'm the fat one now. Like maybe I need to start leveling up my game kind of thing. Right.
Yep.
But it's way more that I'm really dumbing it down. Like he really goes into depth on it, but it's interesting because there is lots of bad information in the space. And it's like, until you've gone out and, maybe read a couple of these things and tested it out yourself. I think that's the biggest thing is guys need to not just read this stuff and mentally masturbate, but they need to read this stuff and test it out. Does it work? And if it doesn't work, reject it. Right. But once you start seeing what works for you, then you're able to spot the bullshit more. Right. So like you mentioned, Fresh and Fit, like I hate to talk shit about those guys, but goddamn, like their content really does give Red Pill a bad name because people think Red Pill's about holding women accountable. It's like, has nothing to do with that, bro. So I definitely understand the frustrations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and back to your point about the spraying the cologne, the perfume on, whatever. To me, that just sounds like emotional manipulation to me. I think I get why he would want someone to do that because he wants the woman to think, hey, other women like this guy, which in and of itself, Paul, I think is a good thing. It's a good thing because if you're wanted by other women, it means you have value in her. You have more value in her eyes, right? Mm-hmm. So that in and of itself is a good thing. But that's the thing. The process of getting her to do that is not organic. You understand? You're going You're going to a department store to spray on women's cologne. How about do it naturally? How about just level up your game, bro? How about just dress better, smell better yourself? And then naturally over the course of time, your girl's going to notice when you and your girl are at the mall, oh, that girl over there is looking at my man. That girl over there is looking at my man. Oh, he's got his shirt off at the beach. Girls are going to be looking at him. That's a more organic way of doing it and a more healthier way of doing it, both for you and for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And that's what Ryan talks about. That's what I talk about in my book when it comes to drag game. It's like you want to be just a naturally attractive dude that like when you go to the restaurant, the waitress is making a little more eye contact than she normally would. Your girl notices that.
That's all you have to do.
It's not that hard.
That's it. Yeah. And there's one other thing too. I can't remember. I guess what I'll follow up with is I'm not familiar with any of Ryan's material, but you said that his book is called kind of like Fixing the Relationship and Looking Inward.
Well, that's what it's about. Like, that's what it's called. But that's sort of what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that too, because he's teaching men, okay, look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Am I the problem? What am I doing? And that's something that Corey Wayne rips on Red Pill too, is he says that they're all about blaming the girl, which now look, they are not innocent in any of these discussions. Right. Mm-hmm. But part of being a man, part of being a leader, there's a fascinating book by Jocko Willink called Extreme Ownership that talks all about this.
I love that book. Yeah.
Yes. I've read that probably 6 or 7 times. It's all about what did I do? What did I do? Now, I don't think that that's completely the right thing to do in every single case. Sometimes shit's just not your fault. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, I could go into examples, but most of the time there was something that you could have done to make the situation better. It's like the saying of, life is 90% what happens to me, or life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. I think that's so true. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah. There's times when you can do everything right. Man, there's another guy in the red pill space. He's not well known. Ryan quotes from him a lot though. And I've had him on the podcast. His name is, he goes by Archwinger, and Archwinger, said it so fucking good to me one day. He goes, you know, Paul, the appeal of the blue pill process is that it does work sometimes. You know, he's like, sometimes people do just sort of happen to get into marriage and they do end up in a 60-year happy relationship without even fucking trying, right? Like, it does happen, but it's so rare, right? That you know, you can't necessarily rely on it. He goes, then you have, you know, red pill or game or whatever you want to call it. And he goes, that's more like counting cards. He's like, you're going to probably up the odds a little bit, but you could still do everything fucking right and still have things not work out.
Yeah.
It's like, so going to your point about extreme ownership, it's like, okay, well, you know, at some point you got to realize you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. So then it's like, okay, well, if someone is acting really shitty and, you know, their behavior is so bad and they're not willing to change, well, man, it's on you to fucking end things then.
Right. Either leave the situation, the relationship, or, and I mean, if you don't do that after a period of time, you're just subjecting yourself to this, to the same old abuse, and which again will fall on you not acting like a man and not pursuing your highest purpose and destiny, which, oh, I think is so important for a man, Paul. It's so important to pursue your highest purpose and destiny, whatever that is, And again, you know, the more you pursue your highest purpose and destiny, the more women are going to naturally notice you. And that's the key, is that you want them to naturally notice you, not by spraying perfume on them.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Well, let me ask you about that. Like, so highest purpose and destiny, I think, you know, a lot of people do say that, right? Like, you have to find a purpose. You have to find a mission in life. And women do tend to gravitate to guys that are focused on their mission, not on the women. How would you recommend a guy find his purpose? Because I think a lot of guys struggle with that. A lot of times I see guys equate purpose with work. Oh, well, I'm an electrician, dude. That's not necessarily your purpose. Okay.
Like, right.
That might give you a means to an end on what your real purpose is, but that's not necessarily your purpose, you know, but a lot of people 100%. can't separate the two. So how would you recommend that to guys?
You know, Paul's a good question. I don't know if there's an easy answer, brother. I think I can start from the beginning. And what I would say is, I've just had recently this epiphany too, is I think it's important for a man, and David Dieter's book, The Way of the Superior Man, which is my second favorite book. He talks about devoting 1 hour a day to something you love to do every day. So let me break this down as quickly as I can. But so in my own personal life, every single day of the week, almost, I've got something scheduled that I love to do. Now, me, most of what I love to do is athletics. So I'll break it down. So Monday is either a rest day or lifting weights. Tuesday, I'm training for a half marathon right now, right? And my goal is to beat my personal record, a PR. So that's my purpose right now. And your purpose can change, I think. But right now, from now until April 28th, my purpose is getting that medal. And if I don't beat my time, Paul, I'm not going to accept the medal. That's how high my standards are. So going back. So Monday is lifting weights. Tuesday is track workout with the running team. Wednesday's boxing practice, and then another run. Thursday is another run with the runners. Friday is boxing practice, and then you lift more weights. And then Saturday, I've got all my weekend activities along with Friday. Oh, Friday night is me and my little brother like to get together at a billiards place to go play pool just right across the street from my house every Friday night, like clockwork, 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, whatever I got planned, comedy show, if it's nice out, which it's not here in Ohio, go to the beach, go swimming, whatever you want to do. Sunday, same thing. And then Saturday and Sunday is more working out, whether it's lifting weights or running. So what I do, Paul, is I've got one thing every single day that just gets me excited to get out of the bed in the morning, brother. Oh, I can't wait to go see my team. Oh, I can't wait to go to my coach. I can't wait to get to the gym. And then on top of that, I do have a job that I'm going to be real with you. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I don't wake up in the morning dreading to go to my job. I'm a truck driver, good pay, pays my bills. I've got a lot of profit at the end of the month. And so, you know, I've got no credit card payments. I've got no car payments. So I've got the freedom to do these things. So what I would say is start small and just pick something and do that for 1 hour every single day. And when you do that, Paul, when you do that, in addition to eating well, to smelling good, to dressing good, to smiling, to walking tall. Oh, brother, it's just going to give you so much confidence. And you'll have no choice but to look and say, man, life is beautiful. Even though you might be striving for something better, each day you take those little steps and you do something you love to do. And going back to your purpose might change. Yeah, your purpose could change and fluctuate. So real quick example, last year, I wanted a career change, right? So I became a truck driver. Well, from January to April of last year, just like this year, that wasn't my purpose. My purpose was running the half marathon and getting a personal record, which, hey, I failed, by the way. I didn't do it. I lost. That's okay, man. I tried. This year, that shit ain't going to happen. I'm going to win. After the half marathon, I said, okay, my new purpose right now is finding a job that's more fulfilling and gives me a higher income. And so, you know, your purpose can change. I don't know if your purpose is one destination, you know, or one ultimate goal that you have. Because David Dieta talks about that too, Paul. He says, look, a masculine man is always striving for freedom. He's always striving for greatness. But then once he gets it, he feels like he's a loser because there's nothing else to chase. And he says, you know, you're chasing happiness all the time, even though you'll never get it. Think about that. It's true. You're chasing happiness all the time, but odds are you'll never get it. And so,
well, yeah. That's actually a good point. Cause a lot of guys do think, they think happiness comes from some external source. Hey, if I just get a girl, I'll be happy. If I just get this job, I'll be happy. It's like at some point you got to just realize that happiness does not come from this shit. It comes from within.
100%.
And if you 100%. Are just be happy in the moment and be grateful for the shit that you already have, you'll actually achieve your happiness. And then you can worry about
that's
the
it. Shit. Brother. No, it just gets me goosebumps, man. I love talking about this, man. I just love talking about improving us as men, improving ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I've kind of had a calling this year, Paul, is, you know, I want to be that guy. Like I want to jump in on these discussions on, you know, Rolo or with you, and I want to learn from you. And then someday I want to be that guy that people can look to and say, oh, well, what would Taylor think about this? What would Taylor do? Let me ask Taylor. So that's kind of like my overarching purpose right now is I just want to help men's health, man, because so many men suffer in silence, Paul. They suffer in silence because they think they're expendable and they think that their worth as a man is tied to their money or tied to their girlfriend or tied to their wife. Where from a Christian perspective, nah, man, your purpose is you were made in the image of God and you were made for great things. And it's but God's not going to do it for you. Jesus isn't going to come down here and give you the blueprint. You got to go out there and get after it. Dave Ramsey always says to leave the cave, go out, kill something, and bring it back. Let's get after it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I always talk about how God. I'm not super religious, but I'm very much into like the law of attraction, and there is a religious explanation for it. You know?
So yeah.
I do often say though that like God does tend to help those who help themselves.
100%. 100%.
You can't just sit around sort of hoping that shit will get better. I mean, you can focus on it getting better, but once you get these ideas in your head of how to make it better, fucking act on it or it's never going to change, you know?
That's it. Now we're making sense, brother. We're making sense.
Yeah. So you're in Ohio.
Yeah. I'm an Ohio guy, born and raised. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what it is about Ohio that leads people to this fucking space. I have like four guys in my beer club, my private community from Ohio. And it's like,
oh, no kidding.
It's like the Ohio crew. And I always like one of my one-on-one clients, and I always give him shit. I'm like, dude, are you out recruiting or something? You're handing out flyers? Like, what the fuck, dude? Like all the Ohio guys are joining the group.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ohio, man. Where are you, Paul?
I'm in Western Colorado.
Colorado. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So it's probably cold there. Well, it's like 40 degrees right here now, but I mean, I've never been to Colorado. So
Yeah, it was nice today. It was about, I don't know, 45. So one of the reasons why I like this area, so I grew up on the eastern slope of Colorado, closer to Denver.
Yeah.
And man, we would have just horrendous snowstorms there, man. It like there would be five foot snow drifts and fucking snow closures for school, which was nice when you're a kid, but driving when you're a teenager sucks, right?
So when I
left for the Navy, I was like, I want to get stationed where it never snows. And so I ended up getting orders to San Diego, and I lived in San Diego for about 15 years. And when I moved back in 2013, we moved back here to the western slope of Colorado, which is closer to Utah. So it's high desert over here. So we get snow, but it's not like blizzards like in Denver. Copy. And it's usually gone like in a day or two. So I like it out here. It's a nice mix of seasons without all the bullshit, you know?
sure. Yeah. Ohio, man, we can get hit pretty hard sometimes, brother. We can get hit hard with snow and cold. It's like, but I think that it's worth getting. It's kind of like life too. It's like, you got to go through some of the bullshit, man, to get to the nice stuff on the other side. Nothing worth having comes easy. So it's like, if I want to compare this to life, it's like, okay, well, we got to get through this winter so we can get to the beaches and get on our jet skis. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is, man. It's just how it is. And you just got to deal with it. Unless you want to move to San Diego or Florida, where you don't ever have to deal with that stuff. But right now, I'm going to stick to Ohio for a while.
Well, I mean, having lived in San Diego, like I'd never move back. The place now is a total shithole.
Get me started, brother.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to get into specifics, but it's not the same place as it was 20 years ago.
No.
And just like the cost of living there is astronomical. And it's like, for what? For what? You guys have ran this into the ground. Anyway, I digress. And so you're into boxing, man. How long have you been into boxing?
Yeah, man. Well, I want to preface this by saying, Paul, that I'm not a boxer. I just love to practice boxing.
Okay.
I love it. It's one of those things that just feeds my soul. It makes me happy. It's kind of like my whole identity as a man is wrapped up in my athletics, which is not good, by the way, to the men listening to this. That's not good. It's a problem I'm working on, but my whole happiness comes from my athletic abilities, which at 33 years old, I'm still young and all that, but eventually I can't do this shit forever. So then what am I going to do? Anyways? Yeah. So I've probably been doing it. Coach Harry was training me for about 7 years. So about 7 years. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, actually so boxing, you know, a lot of people, I don't know what you think about it. Right. But like I grew up doing martial arts. I did taekwondo, karate. I've done Kempo.
Nice.
I've done a little, like, you know, some of those schools had clinics on like Krav Maga and like Aikido and shit like that. So I'm pretty well mixed martial arts. But one thing I think is hilarious is the fucking Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. Like, I swear to God, those guys like sucking each other's dicks and shit, right? And it's like, it's like they'll sit there and talk about how their shit's so awesome. It's like, dude, you like certain, like every martial art has like their pros and cons and stuff like that. And boxing, honestly, it's a fucking great, it could be great for self-defense. Like, I mean, you are like in the ring, you're limited to rules and you're only allowed to use your hands.
Yeah.
But like in a real fight, like there's some really good self-defense shit with that.
Yeah. And 100%.
The cardio's good with it. It's like
even
Bruce Lee incorporated boxing in Jeet Kune Do. Like he incorporated, I've heard that. Yeah, he incorporated fencing in Jeet Kune Do. It's like, fuck off with your Brazilian jiu-jitsu, man. It's just like another tool in the toolkit, though. But like all the BJJ guys are going to be fucking hate spam the comments now. They're like, fuck
you. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will defend the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys. I do have great respect for that because I do think that a lot of what they learn can be so valuable.
It's great. No, it's great. It definitely has its place, you know, but
yeah.
I think the be all end all, you guys, fuck off.
No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing is the be all end all. I will say, I think if you were to like want to train your son or your daughter in any sort of self-defense or fighting, I think that if anybody learns some form of stand-up fighting and some form of grappling, That's it. It could be judo. It could be wrestling. For me, it's wrestling. I love wrestling also. So for me, it's boxing and wrestling. For somebody else, it could be Brazilian jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. You know, but I think it's important for a man specifically, since we're viewed as the providers and the protectors, which we should be. You need to learn one sort of stand-up fighting and one sort of grappling, because you never know what's going to happen, man. You just never know. And back to your point about what boxing can be good as self-defense. Yes, it can. But Jocko pointed something out good. He said, look, if I'm in a self-defense situation, I'm not going to box with somebody, because if I can box with them, that means I can turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
And that's my view. I could kick your ass, man. Come on, bitch. You're
well,
right,
that's
man.
Not really self-defense then, is it? That's just
right,
you guys
right.
with an ego.
The problem is when someone grabs me.
Yeah.
Now I can't walk away. Now I'm forced to do my business, and that's where the grappling comes in. So if for everybody listening out there, man, put y'all's ego aside, man. If someone's talking a mess to you, or even if they shove you, oh, I know it, dude. You probably just want to throw down. You as a man have too much to lose. Turn around and live to fight another day, man. That's my opinion.
Oh yeah, yeah. My colleague in the space on the Rule Zero panel is. John Fitch, he's a former MMA champion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched him all the time in the UFC. Yeah, Purdue, right?
Did he go to Purdue?
I think it was Purdue Wrestling. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it might have been. But yeah, he was a four-time champ in the PFL, and he was also in UFC and Bellator.
Yep, and, fought George St. Pierre.
Yeah, and so he's when I talk to him about this kind of stuff, that's his thing too. He's like, yeah, man, they're like this shit on the street. Some guy like talking smack. He's like, it's not worth like, he's like, if you fucking hit a guy and he falls down and cracks his head on the concrete and dies, like,
you're fucked.
You're fucked. You're going to jail. He's like, was it worth it? Like, just walk away, man.
Yeah.
And he's a fucking pro fighter, and he's got the cauliflower ears and everything, man. Yeah. So no, I agree with that. There's all these guys too. They have this idea that, oh, I'm an alpha male, I gotta defend my honor, bro. It's like, no, you've got it all wrong, man. You've got to have frame.
Yeah.
And if you have frame, what people say to you doesn't fucking matter to you. That's
right.
What a real alpha is, you know?
Like, 100%.
So
100%.
Yeah, a lot of guys just don't fucking get it, man.
You can't defend your honor from a jail cell, man. You can't, no. You know. Yeah, you can't. You're defending your honor. Defending your honor is, like you said, Paul, frame, emotional control, self-control. That's how you that is how you defend your honor and defend your family name. Man, you want to slander your family name by letting the guy get you all rattled and get into your emotions. Now the fact is, Paul, maybe that dude did rattle you and get all into your emotions. That's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be mad. Those emotions are human emotions. It's okay to have those. It's not okay to act on those emotions in irrational ways. You as a man need to control your emotions. And I've made the mistake, Paul, in front of women and in front of men, where I had a lapse in judgment and I fucked up and I didn't control my emotions. And the woman lost attraction for me, or my friends didn't want to talk to me, or whatever it is. And, you know, you learn from it, you grow from it, you move on, you reflect on it, you lick your wounds, and you carry on forward into a better part of your life.
Yeah, man. When I was growing up, man, I was I don't know how you were, but I was a fucking hothead, dude. I was,
really?
Yeah. Anything would set me off, especially like before I started getting into martial arts. My mom put me in martial arts finally when I was in fourth grade, I think. Was it fourth grade?
Yeah.
And I was getting in fist fights all the fucking time. People would say one thing to me and I would just start seeing red and I would just start throwing fists. And I'm like, this is elementary school. Unbridled anger. And there was no reason for it. It wasn't like, you know, a lot of times people have that problem because they're like, you know, abused at home or something like it, but that wasn't really the case necessarily. And so I just had a bad temper. And then I got into martial arts and things chilled out a little bit. I would still get in the occasional scrap because there's always people, you know, growing up, they're like, oh, you're in karate. Well, let's see how.
You know?
And then of course you're like, fuck yeah, bro. And then,
yeah.
I didn't, I didn't learn until like way later in life, man. Like I know like my anger problems like killed my marriage. You know, I was fucking like just a hothead, man. And it wasn't until, you know, I started studying this stuff that I started like self-reflecting and really learning to control the emotions. I think that's probably the hardest thing guys have. Cause they're, and they get into the red pill space and they're like, oh, women are supposed to be these emotional beings and men are supposed to be rational. Guys are the most fucking emotional dudes, like the most emotional creatures on the planet half the time, you know?
Paul, that's we'll touch on this for a few minutes. Because this is an area where I'm still learning. Because not to get into too much detail, over time I can reveal some more stuff about myself to all of you, but I've a very broken home, brother. So, you know, I'm conflicted with it's not weakness, I don't think, necessarily when a man cries if something's deeply bothering him, as long as he's not doing it in front of a lot of people. And all the time, I don't think it's weakness when a warrior like you or myself, who have been through things in their life, are hurting. I'm still kind of to this day kind of confused as to, not confused because I know ultimately you need to handle your emotions, but I step back and I think, okay, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. If something's bothering me, like the history with my father or past pain that I've experienced and those feelings drudge up inside of me and my eyes start getting glossy, what do I do? Do I bottle it in and do I tell nobody about it? Or do I let a few tears go down? Or do I hire a therapist? I mean, obviously you don't want to be super emotional in front of your woman all the time. I think if you've got a really, really good woman and something really, really upsets you to the point to where it almost brings you to tears, you got to be really, really, really careful. And it sucks to say that, Paul, because we're all humans and we all have emotions and we all have things that bother us. And it pains me to say, well, if you cry in front of your girl too many times, she's not going to respect you anymore. But it's the truth.
It's biology.
It's just the truth, man. And it is what it is. Maybe you could, you know, touch on this a little bit. I'll ask you a question. You know, what's your thoughts on all men and their emotions and, you know, that stuff.
Yeah, no, I actually talk about this stuff a lot. And it pisses people off. It really does piss people off when you say, hey man, your girl's not the right outlet for that. But a lot of guys get married or they get into a relationship. They stop hanging out with their boys.
Yeah. Right?
They sort of disconnect from the rest of the world and they just have their girl and they think that's what their girl wants. And so they go to work, they come home, they hang out with their girl, they go to bed.
Yeah.
Do the same thing every day, right? And so they have no outlet for when bad stuff happens and they tend to dump all their emotions on their girl. And the girl to give women credit, I think a lot of women want to care. I think they even think that they care, but they're just biologically not wired to care. So after a while they're just like, I don't know what the fuck's up with this guy, but he can't handle his shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what I say is you definitely don't want to bottle that stuff up. I mean, that's how people end up becoming school shooters and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But so you just need to find the right outlet for it. And the right outlet isn't your girl. It's like it is maybe going to a therapist, it's join a men's group. That's why I created my men's group. You know, you could join our 3% Brotherhood on Facebook for crying out loud.
Yeah.
The only requirement is to read a book.
Read the book, guys. Read it. It'll work wonders for you. Come on. It's only three questions to get into the group. Damn it. I think it's three questions.
It is only three questions. And only one of the questions really has anything to do with the book. So it's like,
I know.
But guys, just they can't do the work. And the thing is like, if you're not willing to do the work to just get into the group, which is a simple thing, then what, you're not going to want to put the work in on yourself. Like you have to have 100%. Some kind of skin in the game, you know? So my beer club, the skin in the game is it's $10 a month, right? 3% Brotherhood. The skin in the game is read a fucking book.
Read the book, dude. You can get through the audiobook version in like 4 hours if you have it on 2-speed. Give me a break.
No, a lot of people make excuses. So I think a good men's community is a great place for stuff like that. A therapist is a good place for that. A one-on-one men's coach, fucking great place for that. You know, So it's going to the gym and just taking, like, if you have a lot of anger, taking it out of a fucking heavy bag, or, you know, like lifting heavy weights and shit.
That's a
good outlet for that. But your girl's just not it. That's all I ever say about that.
And to touch on one thing you said too, Paul, you said girls aren't wired that way. That's true. Alexander Grace, which I would love if you could get him on the show, by the way. He's got a great video, about a 15-minute video talking about all this. And he says he argues that women do actually have the capacity to care for a man's emotions, but it is not their default setting. He says it's like a muscle they have to develop. To care about a man's struggles and to care about a man's pain and a man's feelings and emotions. He says it's not their default setting, but he does believe that they do have the capacity to care. He also says, though, you cannot constantly bombard your woman with your own feelings and emotions. You are supposed to be the leader. You are supposed to be the provider and the protector. However, occasionally, if you are struggling with something, he says to do this. And I've done this before and it's worked. Hey, honey, is everything okay? You seem bothered or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Babe, I'm struggling right now with something. I've got some pain in my heart, or I've got some pain in my mind, but I'm working through it. It's a struggle, but I'm working through it. And at the end of the day, I'm going to come out a better man. I appreciate you asking, honey. And that, but just leave it like that. That way she knows, hey, my man's in pain right now. Whatever it is, he's in pain, but he has promised me he's going to get through it and he's going to be better. Would you say that that's accurate?
Oh, that's 100% accurate. That's what I tell guys too. Like, if you, cause I, you know, I'm not perfect, you know, and I've had this relationship with Nurse Chick for almost going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, like, I'll have a shitty day, man. Like, I'll have a shitty day and I might let it slip, like, what's bothering me, right? And it's I'll tell her, I'm like, hey, can you make me an adult beverage? Because I've had a real fucked up day. And she's like, oh, well, what happened? And so then, like, I'll tell her what happened. And I realize what I'm doing in the moment.
Stop yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll go. Yeah. But you know what? Like, I got this handled and this is my plan going forward. As long as you have a plan, like,
that's it.
You can let them know. I wouldn't make it a habit, but as long as you catch yourself and go, oh, fuck. And then say, but you know what? I got it handled. Tomorrow's going to be cool. This is what I'm going to do. And you have an action plan. She's like, oh, my man's got it handled. And he's got it.
Yeah. That's it.
That's a good way of handling it too.
Yeah.
I try to avoid it as much as possible. I take it to my beer club or the 3% Brotherhood. I actually take most of my shit, my personal shit, I'll take it to the 3% Brotherhood because that's where I came out of. I don't typically my beer club guys, but
sure.
But the 3% Brotherhood, that's, I mean, man, that group was instrumental for me, dude. Like when during 2020, when I first got into that group and started studying this stuff hard, like most of those guys in the group, were you in it in 2020?
Man, see, I was just thinking about that when you were telling me. Because I started seeing a girl in 2021 and we dated for about 2 years. She was a great girl. We split up, but she's a great person and I have a lot of respect for her. Yeah. But I remember thinking to myself when I went on like our fourth or fifth date, I remember thinking to myself, man, the experiences from the other people in the group, which it had to have been this group, the 3% group, helped me a lot. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm so glad I read Corey Wayne's book because, man, this girl is crazy about me. So, yeah, I must have been because I remember thinking about the group during that time. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because the group was really active in 2020. And I think that was because most of those guys were on fucking lockdown, you know, like because
nobody could do. Oh, you can't go to the beach. Why? It's outside. Okay. Why can't I go to the beach? Oh, you might give someone COVID, but I'm wearing a mask. Yeah. Well, you still might give them COVID.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And I remember there was a split in the group at the time of guys that were like, yeah, fuck it. I'm still going out dating. And there was no places open. So it was like, they were all getting creative, you know? And that was, I thought dating was awesome during COVID.
For sure, man.
It was like, okay, I'm going to let's meet up at the park. I'll bring a bottle of wine. I'll smuggle it in my backpack. Like, let's just get together and meet at the park. And then it was like second date. Hey, why don't you come back to my place? I'll cook you dinner. And it was like, you're hooking up on second dates, like clockwork, because there was nothing else to do.
Yep.
It was fucking awesome. And then there was the guys that were like too scared to go out. And you're like, grow a pair. You'll be fine. It's just,
yeah, cold, man. Yeah. I know it. That's I had it twice. I think I might've had it three times. And this is not to diminish anybody who's had it or had friends that died. My sympathy goes out to you, but just me personally speaking, I can only speak for myself. It felt like a cold, the stuffy nose, a cold. The second time I had like a dry cough. But to me, I didn't really have too much issue with it. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, yeah, I had a aunt that passed away from it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
It's unfortunate, but it's like, she also was like set in her 70s and she had underlying conditions.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but I still think like, I'm very still much against the whole lockdown shit, but,
Me too.
I think like since 2020, I've probably caught it about three times.
Yeah,
four times or
two
so.
Or three times. Yeah,
and I swear to God, like, I'm one of those guys who back in, like, I used to be overweight, right? And I think that contributed to the end of my marriage. And so when I took my health back in 2016, I promised myself, I was like, dude, you are working out 5 days a week at least.
I no love it, man. What,
no fucking love excuses. It. And so even when I'm on my deathbed with COVID, like half the time I was still out running. I was running slower and I'd walk when I had to, but I'm like, I have to go out and do this. Like, this is my,
yeah, man.
I forced myself to do that shit.
Where there's a will, there's a way, Paul, for sure. I do want to go back to this one thing just before I forget. You mentioned, getting creative with your dates. That's one thing too. I want to stress to the men might maybe listening to this that are maybe new to this material. Dinner dates are so basic. Do something else. I'll give you a good example. There was a girl I took out probably about a month or so ago. And you know what we did for our first date? Wasn't dinner, wasn't the movies. Horrible. Do something different. You want to do something different. So what we did was we drove about an hour to this indoor go-kart track. I'm talking, dude, the fast ones where you have to wear the helmet and shit, okay? And she's all excited and she's like, okay, we're gonna drive them together, right? And I looked it over like this. I said, no, I'm about to beat your ass. And she goes, what? So we had a great time. We were bumping into each other. We were laughing. And then we went over across the street and we went to just this indoor rollerblading place, right? And I looked at her and I said, I'm going to fall. You can laugh at me. I'm going to laugh at myself. We are going to fall. So we get in there. We start skating around, Paul. Man, we're bumping into each other. I'm making her fall. She's making me fall. We're laughing. We're having a good time. This is stuff that teenagers do. Go-karts and rollerblading. But it was different. And, man, she kept coming back. She kept coming back. And so, man, I think it's so important that when Corey Wayne says, have fun, hang out, hook up. Obviously, we all want to be careful about the hookup part. I don't necessarily believe in like high body counts for, you don't have to sleep with every single woman, but that have fun part, man, if you just have fun with her, bro, she'll keep coming back. She will keep coming back because she's associating you with laughter. She's associating you with having a good time. And by the way, don't tell her, guys. Don't tell her what y'all are going to go do. Make it a surprise. Like I said, these are all things that Corey Wayne teaches in his book, and it works, bro. It mm-hmm. just works. And it's like, have fun, be cool, just hang out, be creative, get her out of her comfort zone, chill. And guys, laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at yourself. Someone makes fun of you. If she makes fun of you, laugh and then over-exaggerate. Like, man, I got a big ass forehead. Look how big this forehead is, man. So if someone makes
no, it's good.
So it's like, man, if someone makes fun of me, I'm gonna laugh with it because it's true. So I just wanted to break that down too and be like, man, you know, just, I think dinner dates are kind of basic and overrated.
Yeah.
So just, you know, go do, like you said, like when you said, you, hey, let's go to the park and I'll smuggle in a bottle of wine. Oh man. And I'm thinking, man, you don't have to wait for COVID to do that. That could be a nice first date when everything's open, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah. I have a slightly different take on first dates. I definitely don't think dinner dates are good for first dates, but for me, I like to keep dates low investment at first and sort of, because I really want to test a woman's interest. So I usually first dates for me are drinks only. And it's drinks in the evening though, just like Corey teaches. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And it's a chemistry test. Like, do I even like her or not?
Facts.
And then if I like her, then I'll take her to a second venue, maybe down the street, maybe we'll play some pool or darts or something like that. And then if all that stuff goes well, going for the kiss and she's, you know, she's all into it, then maybe a second date would definitely be like laser tag or fucking, you know, go kart.
Right. So now what about though? Let me posit this to you, Paul. What if you have, which I advocate for this for 100%. What if you have a half hour video call with her first and you're really feeling the chemistry? No, is it a date? No, it's not a date, but it can get both of you a little bit more comfortable. Would that change your, like, would you maybe still do the same beer and all that stuff? Or maybe would you change a little bit, or you still kind of have the same take? Or
I would still have the same take. I advocate for that. I talk about that in my book, and I just dropped a dating course. And I think I call it a vibe check, right? Have a video vibe check. And that's really good if you really want to weed out the catfish, especially if you're doing online dating. It's like, that's the only way to 100% weed out all catfish is to do the video date first. I had a dating coach on from Philadelphia. He goes by the Hudsman, Huds. He teaches guys to do that, to do a video call first. And then he goes, your actual meetup, have her just go straight to your house.
Interesting. Okay. It's interesting. A different take. Yeah.
Different take. I personally, it's still like, I enjoy going out for drinks, you know? So I'm not just in it for hookups, you know? So I have no problem going out and meeting for drinks, you know, but other guys, they just want to do hookups. So it's like, okay, we'll do Hud's way. You know, that's what I'd like to have. I like to have other guys in the space, other dating coaches, you know, other people's perspective, because all women are different, right? Like all men are different too. Like some guys, they want to find a wife, you know, I personally think marriage is a terrible idea, but whatever, if that's what your paradigm is and you have to do it, then okay, cool. Let me get a guy on that knows more about that, you know?
Sure. So. Yeah. And we appreciate that, Paul. At least I do. And I know the rest of the people in the group too, man. We appreciate like everything you do, like all the interviews you try to get lined up. Cause man, you're a working guy. You got kids and all that, but it's like, you know, you're constantly trying to get the group to grow, and it doesn't go unnoticed, man. I don't know how often you get thank yous, but, I don't get it enough.
God damn it. I need more accolades.
Come on, damn it. Comment section, light it up with a thank you. But it's so awesome, man. It's cool. But yeah, the video call, I really like that. Paul, I used to be so nervous just with a video call just of a couple of years ago. Now, dude, it's like no matter how hot the girl looks in her pictures, I'm ringing her up. No matter how hot she is on the other side of the camera, it's like I'm just chilling. I'm relaxed. And that actually helps me be more relaxed when I go and meet her. It helps the girl like lower her stress levels. It helps her lower her guard a little bit so she can trust you more. And yeah, I think the video call, I think every man should do a video call if they can, if they're meeting online. In person, maybe not so much, although I'd still probably do it. If it's a quick 5 minute, hey, let me get your number thing. But yeah, that video call, I think the video call has been essential for me in building my confidence, because it's like, you're not in person, but you're looking at the person and you're talking with them and you're seeing, because man, Paul, a lot of guys get intimidated by how pretty the girl is. And that used to be me, man. That used to be me. So like the video call is like, okay, you can see how cool she is, how pretty she is. And you know, whatever, but you can still kind of like go through the flow, and she's not like, you can't smell her perfume, you know, and that'll entice you even more and get you even more nervous. So I think a video call is a great way for men, especially just starting out, to really build that confidence and just having some chill out, just lean back in the chair and just have some casual conversation. All you're doing is getting to know her, guys. Don't take it so seriously. You guys got to go into it like how women go into it. Hey, let's just see what happens. You know, and it's like, that's the thing Corey talks about too, Paul. It's like, man, guy, oh, I want to get a girlfriend so bad. I said, well, hold on a second.
You're across as needy that way.
Yeah. And you're a successful man. You got to see if you like her. Yeah. Kevin Samuel says she's got to be more than just pretty. And guys need to get that through their head. It's like, and that's one of the things, Paul, that I love that Rich Cooper says, is he says, hey, hold on, y'all. Besides sex, what's this girl going to offer you? Mm-hmm. Just ask yourself that question, because if it's only sex, brother, if you really need to, you can use your hand. Okay. If all she's going to cause you is drama and there's no chemistry and there's no connection and all she's going to give you is a good time in bed, look, it's y'all's life. But for me, I'm looking for something much more than that. So,
Yeah, one thing I'll just add to that too is it's a fucking dumb thing to do to ask a girl what she brings to the table.
Because guys
in the space they get that thing like, well, what does she bring to the table? So they'll go to a first date and fuck things up by asking.
Oh my gosh!
How about this, bro? Just pay attention and ask her compelling questions and learn.
Ask the right questions. Like, yep. Organic. Find it out naturally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, guys are retarded. all right. So do you go by Taylor or Taylor Michael?
Michael's my middle name, but I have it hyphenated because that's what my parents always called me, Taylor Michael. So you can say Taylor, you can say Taylor Michael. You can just say Taylor. Taylor's fine.
Okay. So they didn't just call you Taylor Michael when you were in trouble. They called you that all the time.
All the time. And then all throughout, I had a couple of girlfriends that I liked, that really liked me in high school that called me Taylor Michael. Both of them did. They didn't even know each other, but they both said Taylor Michael. So it's kind of like makes me feel better, I guess.
All right. Taylor Michael.
There we go.
I have one last question for you and then we'll just go ahead and wrap up. I like to ask this for all the guys that come from the brotherhood, but, what does being a 3% man mean to you? Like we all know what the book definition is, but what does being a 3% man mean to you?
It's a good question. A 3% man, what does it mean to me? I think, Paul, what a 3% man means to me is just understanding how attraction works, trying to be the best person that you can be so that you can naturally attract the woman that you want. I think it's so important to learn how negative being needy and being clingy and being obsessed with a woman, how negative that can be to your dating life. I'll follow it up by saying there are so many experiences, great memories, and great women that you can meet if you just follow the principles that are in Corey's book. If you just follow the principles of the natural law of attraction, be yourself, reach for your highest purpose and destiny, be naturally attractive, smell good, dress well, eat well. And man, you're going to have so many beautiful women in outside and in the heart that will just shower you with their feminine energy. Some of them might not work out. Most of them are not going to work out until you find the one you want to marry. If that's your goal, that's personally my goal, but if that's your goal. And so, you know, I don't think it's just one thing that a 3% man means to me. It's just it's a culmination of things. And, you know, Paul, I think life is about making great relationships and making great memories and leaving a legacy. And the best way to do that is to be the best man that you can be, not the best. I'm not going to be the best boxer or the best runner, but I can be the best that I can be. And when you are the best that you can be and people see you going your own way and doing your own thing, people are naturally going to gravitate towards your energy. And that's when you meet the best people. You meet the best people, Paul, in my opinion, when they come to you. The best relationships I've had with women, Paul, is when the woman has made the first move. We can talk about that another time, but those are the best relationships I have is when it's organic. Don't force things. Don't work out to meet a girl. Don't eat well to meet a girl. Don't pursue your purpose to meet a girl. Do it naturally, brother, because you're going to be doing yourself a favor and you're literally going to love your life. Don't work the Monday through Friday. Hell yeah, it's Friday. Oh God, it's Monday. Man, Muhammad Ali said, don't count the days. Make the days count.
I like it. That was a really good answer. Go about, don't do this to get girls. Don't, you know, one thing I will say this, a lot of guys find themselves in the space because they are trying to get the girls. Right.
Yeah.
But what you'll find, guys, is that the process of being an attractive guy that gets girls is just being like the best possible version of yourself. It's amazing. It's a whole self-help process. It's fucking crazy.
That's it. That's it, man. That's all it is right there.
Do you want people to find you online?
Yeah, sure. So, I just started a YouTube channel maybe a week or two ago. It's mainly towards short little video clips of encouraging messages and wrestling and boxing clips. But I plan to interview like local athletes in my area. Maybe I'll post this on there. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I've got a Facebook. I do not have an Instagram. Maybe someday I'll make one. Facebook at Taylor Michael Griffin, and then my YouTube handle is at Holy @Corey_athletics. If you want to go follow me, subscribe, like the videos. I just started it. Only got like 17 subscribers, but that's what I was talking to you earlier, Paul, is I just got so much to say to the world, and I really want to be a blessing in people's lives. And I want to help specifically men, but anybody. I want to help men not suffer in silence. And if I can encourage them, the best way I know how to do that is through my athletics. And so if I can encourage them to work out and eat healthy and maybe start training or learn how to fight, that's what I do. So I do have a YouTube page, Holy_athletics, or you can find me on Facebook. Send me a friend request if anybody needs to chat about anything. Something's bothering y'all. Y'all are living in Ohio. Let's meet up, grab a beer. I don't drink, but I'll get like a chocolate milk or something, and we can go out and talk. So, yeah, that's how you can find me.
Yeah, I'll link to that in the description. You can also find him in the 3% Brotherhood group.
Yeah, 100%.
Right there.
Yeah.
All right, Taylor Michael, thank you so much for joining me, man. You're welcome back anytime. I appreciate
it. Oh, absolutely, man. I can't wait for our next discussion, Paul. Thank you so much.
Mr. Griffin, thank you so much for joining me today, man. You are welcome back anytime. That was a pleasant conversation. It was good getting to know you during this. Guys, I hope you got some value out of it. That's all we have for this episode, though, guys. So if you haven't done so already, please like, subscribe, hit those notifications. If you guys haven't dropped a comment yet, what are you waiting for? Okay, favorite emoji. You know what to do. If you guys haven't left us a 5-star review on Apple or iTunes, what are you waiting for? I mean, seriously now. Y'all tune in every week. Haven't left a review yet? What are you even doing with your lives? Follow me on social media. The links are in the description. Get on the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com. I'll send you a bunch of free stuff. Get the book, guys. Oh, almost dumped my drink over there. Everything I Wish I Knew When I Was 18 is available on hardback. If you order it through me, get an autographed copy. The link's in the description. It's cheaper. It's cheaper to order it through me than it is to get it on Amazon. But all the other versions are available on Amazon. If you go to books.comeonmanpod.com, join the beer club, guys. It's a good group of dudes. Like I said, if you sign up for a year, it's only $8 a month. And then finally, if you guys want to work with me directly, you could do so by going to coaching.comeonmanpod.com. That's all we got. Be sure to tune in Wednesday for the live stream.
This has been the Come On Man podcast. New full episodes served hot every Monday morning on your favorite podcast platform of choice. So subscribe now. Follow Paul on social media. The links are in the description. Now, go out and get it.